And Sue, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing really well, especially because I was just in New York City and we got out just in time before this big storm.
And with the three major airports and however many people right. are in the tri-city, tri-state area.
Well, even down into Philadelphia, too.
Oh, they're getting jerseys, getting everybody. Good job. Well, I'm glad you're out. And out in
the
lovely Bloomington here this time of year. Did you get a new phone? You sound fantastic.
Yes.
Do I? You know what? I am using my landline instead of my cell phone.
Much
now,
better.
Is it my phone? Or is it me?
It is both. It's riveting. Okay. It is excellent.
okay.
I can hear the meter and the listenership increasing from sea to shining.
All right.
Sea to shining sea. Now, you and Keith have had a busy week. Started off on Tuesday night.
Right.
You had the big meeting that Keith
community
was...
Community forum.
The community forum that Keith was in charge of. Big, big panel. I thought the panel was a great idea because, number one, you had education officials, you had political officials, you had people with teachers, with people with school corporations. You had all your bases covered. Tell us what we saw and heard on Tuesday night.
You're right, Glass. It was a great gathering. It was a packed room. We met in the CoLab, which is our big instructional room over on Miller Drive. And we had a huge panel. Let me name them really quickly. Paul Farmer, locally, the president of our Monroe County Education Association. Sandy Steele, who's the Uniserve director out of ISTA. Terrence Mason, who's the new dean of the School of Ed, so it was great to have him there. Brian Smith, who's the executive director of the Indiana School Boards Association. Mark Stoops, senator from this district. Matt Pierce, one of our state representatives. Tim Thrasher, knowing all about money. And Kathy Fuentes-Royer, who was there representing Indiana Coalition for Public Education, our state advocacy group. So they each gave an overview of where they saw legislative impacts this session, and then the audience was able to ask questions. And Keith's the one who had to, like, sort out all those questions and figure out how to combine which ones, when to ask what. So he did a really great job, and I just think we had wonderful questions. And Brian Smith, who came from Indianapolis,
right.
I think was pretty impressed and kind of blown away by the size of crowd that we had and kept telling us how fortunate we are to have this community. And we know that. We know how interested people are in education here. So I'm glad to see people from Indianapolis seeing that too. But I got to tell you, Glass, once again, you know, it's not necessarily a real rosy picture for public education.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What did we learn on Tuesday night? What did you hear from Matt Pierce and Senator Stoops about what is happening at the State House?
Well, it seems like vouchers, the proposal is for vouchers to grow, and we can certainly talk about that. The legislature's talking about preschool, which we know that kids who come out of a preschool program are much better prepared to learn later on. They do better. However, that's been tied to a voucher bill, so that if we want pre-K, it looks like it might be tied in with vouchers. And I know that was really frustrating to Matt and Mark, and they were talking to folks about that. And I guess the one concern in the legislature, which just, I think, amazed all of us there, is that we have legislators saying we still need to study pre-K because we need to know if it works. Now, we've known for years and years and years and years, and there's a lot of studies to back that up, so... to me, that just sounds like a way that some folks want to get out of funding pre-K.
Well, and the other part of that, too, Sue, is that it's a way to say, well, if we keep studying it, beside the fact that we know it works, then we don't have to extend the program statewide because we're still not sure it works.
Well, but here's the point, though. What is the money going into the pre-K right now?
What is it?
Yeah.
What, we have five areas right now. Right, yeah.
Okay.
You're talking about an
What is your school board's budget annually?
Oh, way over that.
Well, that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
We're fighting over $3 million.
That's for everything.
I know, but I'm just saying we're fighting over $3 million and $10 million. That's what is that going to get you? A box of pencils?
Well, but what they're talking about, Mike, is what do we take it from in order to put it there? It's not how do we develop the funding stream in order to allow this to happen.
It's a one-time push.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, Sue. So instead of funding education, what should we do? We should defund it, give it less money?
No, we should fund it. don't ask me. You know I'm biased, but really what we want to do, we want an educated populace. We want our common schools, our public schools that were there for the common good. And we know this. The earlier we catch kids and can intervene and make sure that they can be adequate learners, the less we have to put in later on in the schools to intervene.
So why are we not spending the money on this? Why? What is the big hang up? What is the rhetoric saying this is a bad idea because what?
I just think it's a matter of priorities in this state, in this legislature. Just like we are one of, I think, only two states that doesn't pay for textbooks or offer free textbooks to families and students. We require families to pay for those textbooks. To me, that it violates the state constitution, but the state has always claimed they didn't have the money to cover that. So I just think it's a priority of where people want to spend money, and we certainly know that there's a whole lot of money sitting around that could be used for this instead of an I-69 or something else, but it's all about priorities and choices.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein are our guests this morning. They both serve on the MCCSC school board, so we've learned the picture is cloudy at the state level, or it doesn't paint as pretty of a picture. What other educational issues should we be watching out of the state house? I mean, pre-K, we know that's one of them, but is that the main focus?
Well, Sue mentioned it already, and that's this voucher issue.
Sure.
Part of what she's referring to is the bill to allow for the pre-K has set up a system whereby once a student is admitted into the program, they have a voucher for the entire rest of their school career, all the way through the 12th grade. That's not been in there before. That's not been a part of it. And even to the point that you still must maintain certain economic guidelines in order to remain eligible, that's not in the bill. It's just once you start, you continue all the way through your school career. So, you know, Matt and Mark Stoops both made references to the fact that I'm not sure I would say that they said it was dishonest, but they certainly were suspicious of some of the things and the way they're worded that you have to read carefully, almost with a magnifying glass, to understand it's not what it seems to be in the way the legislation is worded.
And again, Glass, the thing is that this opens the door for more taxpayer money being able to be siphoned into private education. And certainly I believe in choice. If people want to choose a private school, a religious school, whatever other school they want, great. But I want the public money going into public education. The more that we drain out of public education, the less we're going to have to educate the general public. And the other thing about pre-K, I just remembered this. I think either Mark or Matt mentioned that when they were talking about pre-K money, somebody in the legislature said, well, if you want that so badly in Monroe County, just hold another referendum and you can pay for it yourself.
There you go.
And I think that's kind of
the law of unintended consequences.
Yeah, raise your own money when this is supposed to be coming from state money. And Senator Stoops said, I thought this was just a great quote, I wrote it down. He said, with the last referendum that we had, Monroe County taxpayers saved our schools from the legislature. And that's really true because there's a whole lot of communities that are never going to be able to pass a referendum. As Brian Smith talked about from the ISBA, some of the more rural communities are probably never going to be able to, to pass a referendum. So I'm not just worried about us. I'm worried about the whole state. I want our whole state to be well educated.
I want to talk a little bit about the elephant in the room, and it was referred to by the dean of the IU School of Education, and that is that young people are not entering the field of education in large part because of all of this stuff that's going on. It's not a preferred career choice any longer, and schools of education are seeing drops in enrollment. We know what that means, and we know what it means down the road. So we've got to do something to make education what it used
to be. How many times can you kick the can down the block before somebody picks it up and throws it in the recycling bin, right?
That's right.
Well, you know what? Here, I was talking to Mark Stoops after the meeting, and he was talking about places that And we could do this in Indiana, and I would love to see us do this.
So let me just, before we get started, do we think that everybody's smart enough right now? We've got good enough test scores. We've got good enough this, that, or anything where the education isn't important? Is that where we're at? We're doing this by ourselves. We're doing it with what you have now. Why should we give you more money? Is that the angle? Look how smart you are right now. Why do we need to give you more money?
I think the attitude is we want people to have choice, so we're going to give you the chance for a voucher, and you can take that voucher and go to whatever school you want to go to, which, again, in my mind, just kind of there's not enough money to go around to a whole lot of different schools.
Okay.
The whole idea of public schools was the common good, the common school where we're all educated together and we're all educated on the same level, to the same standards. And that's not what our state wants to do because, as Senator Stoops and Representative Pierce pointed out, there's a whole lot of money for people to be made, for people to make, who own the profit charters and private schools. There's money in there, and people have tapped, they know it. They've tapped into it, and they're making money from these places off of the taxpayer dime that we pay.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein are our guests this morning, the MCCSE forum that took place on Tuesday, a big panel of folks, again, bringing us up to date, what's happening in the legislature, what's going to be moving forward.
The other thing that happened that day was the confirmation of a new Secretary of Education.
There you go.
Which became one of the big topics that evening, too.
And then the question I had for Sue last week was,
right,
what the Secretary of Education does exactly what? She could be hands-on, she could be hands-off. What seems to be the general feel of how that's going to work?
I think the concern is, because the federal government does allocate federal money to schools, especially in Title I, which is our schools in poverty, and for special ed money. We don't know what now will happen with that. Of course, Congress has to be a part of that. We're not really sure how that's going to happen.
So the checks and balances kind of balance that out, for lack of a better phrase. It's not a one-woman dictatorship where she says, hey, I'm in charge now, we're wiping this clean, we're doing that. She still has to go through the hoops. So people that hear that she's a new secretary, well, the reason our government works the way it does, you've got to have these checks and balances.
But she has an inordinate influence over how things happen. That's the difference.
You know, and because, you know, we've not always had a Department of Education in the federal government.
Right.
Jimmy Carter created that. And since education is left to the states, I could see us eliminating the Department of Education, and the money, the federal money that comes back into states for individual school corporations, I think could be funneled through Health and Human Services. Just like the money that we get for free and reduced lunch comes through the Department of Agriculture. That doesn't come through the Department of Education.
Right.
So money wouldn't have to come through the Department of Education. So it's just something that I've been thinking about lately, and because I'm always thinking about our schools, but and that's a good thing, that we should always be thinking about our schools. But here's the other thing, Glass. You're going to love this, because this is going to get Keith going. The ISTEP test.
Hey, we haven't talked about that in 15 minutes. All right.
Is going to be renamed, probably, iLearn.
Okay.
And it's going to be the same test.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, if you give the pig a new haircut, it's still a pig, isn't it?
Yeah, put lipstick on that pig.
Oh,
remember that one more.
So Ed Delaney, who is a state legislator, in the article I was reading, has proposed that the federal government give us a waiver of a year or two of having to have these kinds of assessments until we can figure out the test. Because we took a year already, and we didn't figure out anything except to give it a new name. So I'm not real sure what's happening there.
Hey, Sue, before we go, one of the other things I want to point out is, just so people know, there is a bill before the legislature to take the state superintendent of public instruction from an elected position and make it an appointed position by the governor. So we have another political issue.
And that's really interesting to me, because I can almost go either way with that. Certainly we had somebody who was popularly elected in the last term, but she couldn't get anything done because of the the conflict between her and the legislature and her and the governor. So I don't know. Maybe it would be better to have an appointed. Our local superintendents in each school corporation are appointed by an elected school board. So maybe what we should do is elect the State Board of Education and then let them appoint a superintendent.
Let me just add one thing. An elected school board in the public schools who are accountable to the voters.
Right, exactly. I hear Glass, and I'm not sure. I'm kind of brainstorming here with
it's
people.
Interesting, but you could just tell by how obtuse they react to most education issues that mm-hmm. Nobody likes to upset the apple cart. Let's just keep things in the power is always follow the money, find the answer, and until that is remedied or relieved, well, you're going to have the same issues regardless of who's appointing what and who. Influence is always influence, Sue, and I don't think that's I don't think that's going to change. I just find it remarkably silly that not investing in the future of the kids is I think that's irresponsible, no matter what side of the political aisle you're on. But again, someone has to make money from it, or it's not worth doing. That's the problem.
Well, I would hope as a public entity that we could eliminate some of that. People making money from it, but you're right. I mean, you look at the money, and you look at where the money goes, and who has access to that money, and that's kind of what it's all about.
Exactly. But everything's
No matter what happens at the federal level, no matter what happens at the state level, here in MCCSC, we're going to keep educating kids the best way we can, in the way that we know is the best, and we have great staff and a great administration. And a pretty good board, and so in a great community. So we'll just keep doing what we need to do here.
Yeah, and sadly, the there are more exceptions than there are rules. It seems like you can point to the 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 across the state, and everybody else is kind of just struggling to get by. So sometimes we do miss the greater good in some of all this.
Right, and we do know that a whole lot of school corporations that are having problems, it's because of high concentrations of poverty. So if somehow we could correct that or ameliorate that, we could probably improve our educational system.
Sue, good job as always. We appreciate the time. Well, who knows what next week will bring, but we'll get a recap
of it. Well, who knows, right. Okie dokie.
We'll get caught up next Thursday. Thank you. Great phone. God, that phone sounds good.
Yes.
Good phone, Sue. Good
keep
phone.
It.
Keep that one on the rotation.
Well, that makes me concerned about my cell phone then. So, but anyway, thanks for telling me. My landline sounds great.
Well, wait till you hear the recording of this later at WGCLradio.com.
Okay, everybody listen to the recording.
That's right.
Okay.
Thanks, Sue.
Okay. Okie dokie. Talk to you guys next week.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein both serve on the MCCSE School Board and check in with us every Thursday morning.